up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, if you're a parent and you have children, and especially if you have children that are maybe in their teen years or maybe even a little bit older, and they're not exactly walking the way you would have them walk, and they grew up in church and they've heard the gospel, maybe even they've made a profession of faith, and you're trying to do your best to bring them up in the ways of the Lord, and you're trying to follow God yourself. But there comes a time when, they get on their own path and all of a sudden they're not going down the path that we would have them go down. And it can be heartbreaking. It's scary. It's fearful. And you think, what did I do wrong? First and foremost, you tend to blame yourself. And then second of all, perhaps you blame God and you wonder, will this ever turn around? Are they just going to be a prodigal for the rest of their lives? Is this just all for naught? And in the profession of faith and growing up in church, it was all for nothing, and we tend to panic in that. Don't we? Don't we panic? I've been down these roads and have these challenges myself and my wife, and we have four kids, and it's frightening and it's challenging. But God is still sitting on the throne. He's still running the universe with his feet up, and while we run around down here on earth in our limited view and freak out, God's at the helm. He's got everything under control. He's got a plan and a purpose for every person, especially for those that have placed their faith in him. And so today, one of my favorite kind of days on Call to Action is you're going to hear a deeply personal story, first from a young woman who was that kid, an Australian-born Romanian immigrant and a preacher's kid, a missionary's kid. Her father happens to be a dear friend of mine. She's describes herself as an ordinary person who has been radically transformed by Jesus. She was down some dark roads, drug abuse, alcoholism, purposelessness, a rebellion, but she grew up in the church. But today, she's in New York City, and she's there as a woman on mission, a woman with a purpose, and God is using her at a church plant there. And so this is the story of a prodigal daughter who went down those dark roads, but God brought her back, and today just doing awesome things through this wonderful young woman. Her name is Elizabeth Hobovkovich. I know her father, Mark, and it's just an honor to have you on the show. Elizabeth, welcome to Call to Action.
Thanks for having me, Steve, and you got our last name right, so good on you.
I know. Well, that probably took me 400 or 500 tries with your dad. and we were together at a ministry event last week down in Atlanta when we were doing a launch for the Harvest Crusade in Atlanta next September with Pastor Greg Laurie. And I was teasing him because it's almost like you got to make two name tags for you guys, and you put the first six syllables on one name tag, and you put the second six syllables on another name tag.
Right. But, and my first name is Elizabeth, and his first name is Mark, so he has it a little easier than I do.
He does have it a little bit easier. Anyway, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, and this is a great story and a tough story, of course, for parts of it, but it's amazing what God can do in one person's life and in a family's life and how he's using you today. But Elizabeth, take us into your past and take us into how you grew up and kind of these dark roads you went down, and then we'll turn the corner at some point and start talking about how God is using you today.
Yeah, well, you gave a really great intro. I'm a missionary's kid. I'm Romanian, born in Australia, raised in America, so I don't know what I am. I defy all labels. But I grew up in the church. Like I said, my dad was a preacher, and I'm the youngest of two daughters, and so I grew up in a very loving, God-honoring home where I made a profession of faith when I was 6 years old. I was baptized by my dad when I was 12, and I really believe that I loved God with the capacity that I had at that time. However, when I was around 15, I met a boy, and kind of how that story goes is that you meet a boy, and he introduces you into partying, and you try alcohol, and you start sneaking out of the house, and it just starts really slowly, but just my rebellious heart, the Lord has given me a boldness for him. But in that time, I think that the enemy was using that in a perverted and distorted way, not in his original design. And I was just that prodigal daughter, as you said. And that led into, as I said, alcoholism. Later on in my 20s, it was drug abuse. I actually moved back to Australia after I graduated high school to try and run away from all my problems, and yet they kept catching up with me. And I just started to hit, you know, everyone says, what was your rock bottom? And I'm like, well, which rock bottom? Because there was a lot of them. And as you can imagine, just the pain and the shame and the hurt that I'm kind of dragging my family through this as I'm just rebelling against the Lord. And honestly, Steve, it was really just, I wanted to love God, but it was just, whenever you consistently feed your flesh for years and years and years, you begin to just not hear his voice anymore and not really know who God is for yourself and just not really experience the person of Jesus. And so I really experienced the person of Jesus about 3 years ago. I'm 25 now, so I was 22, and I was actually driving home drunk to my parents' house, and somehow my car ended up stopping, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I called my mom, very frantic and just very, I was just drunk and very just loud and just being just really, no one could calm me down because I was so drunk driving, and just the Lord protecting me even then. And I remember my mom just letting the Holy Spirit speak through her, and she said, you know, you need to get your life together. It's your heart, Elizabeth, it's your heart. What are you running away from? Because God is pursuing you. And so she said, you know what, you pick the church, but we're going to church this weekend. And I had been in church, you know, I know the church game. I know when to sit and when to stand and when to, you know, all of that. But for this time, it was just something different. And keep in mind, I was in my 20s. And so my mom telling me these things in a very harsh way, I could have just said, okay, you know, screw you. I'm going to go do my own thing.
Sure.
But it was almost as if I needed someone to just speak truth into me. And I remember going to that church service, and the guy that was speaking was a guest speaker, and he had a very similar story as mine. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Steve, but when someone is speaking or the Lord is speaking directly to you and it feels like you're the only one in the room, and it was a huge church, and I just felt like a spotlight was on me. And I remember going home that night, closing my door, and that is where I really encountered the Holy Spirit. I mean, I felt the holiness and the weight of who this God was. And at the same time, I didn't feel condemned. I felt overwhelmed by his love.
Yeah, and that's a really, and Elizabeth, that's a really key point. We're coming up on the break. That's a really key point that God, just like with the woman caught in adultery, he's not there to condemn you. He's there to forgive you and to love you and to carry you forward. We're talking to Elizabeth, a great personal story of redemption and then redemption again and then grace and mercy. We'll hear some more when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. The website, C2AToday.com, C2AToday.com. By the way, I want you to go to the Facebook page as soon as you can. That's just Facebook.com/C2A Radio, or the link's right at the homepage at C2A Today. And you'll see right there on the top of my feed there today, you'll see a link for Elizabeth. We're talking to Elizabeth Hubavkovich. That's Romanian, in case you didn't know. Goodness, that should be so obvious. Anyway, that's her dad's fault, and we'll talk to her father, Mark, who's a good friend of mine, in the second half of the show. But I put her link up today because she's working through Crew in New York City. It's really amazing what God is doing with this young woman and how he's using her to minister to other women there in New York City. And I'm going to play a clip for you in a little bit of something that happened not that long ago. Somebody that Elizabeth was working with, and a friend of hers named Jessica, and something that happened that was super exciting that Elizabeth made just this powerful, emotional, short little video. I've got the audio from that I'll share with you so you can get a real flavor for how God is using this young woman there. But all this information you can find right on the Facebook page, because we are going to ask you to be a part of what God is doing there and to help Elizabeth out as she pursues what God has for her there in New York City, which is obvious, very fertile ground with a lot of people that need the Lord, as we do around the country and around the world. But New York City in particular, a very difficult place to go with the gospel. But we're talking to Elizabeth. She's sharing with us. She had gone down some roads, moved to Australia, drugs, alcohol, the whole nine, growing up as a preacher's kid and loving parents. You know, you do everything right that you think. And then you have a daughter that goes prodigal, but she was coming back drunk that night, calls her mom. Mom says, you're going to church tomorrow. You pick the church, we're going. And God met her there that day. And Elizabeth, you asked if I had ever had one of those experiences when it seemed like I was the only one in the room. And I definitely have. If I hadn't, I wouldn't be talking to you on the radio right now. But that night you're at home and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. And what did he do with you that night? And then where did it go from there?
I think that night it was just something supernatural happened. It was kind of like a light bulb went off in my head. And for years and years, my parents, I tried to do the right things. But of course, in my flesh, I would fail. And I never really fully surrendered my life to the Lord. And everything that my parents had said about what the gospel is and God's grace and that really it's a heart issue. All of these other things are symptoms of my heart. It's like it clicked. It's like a light bulb went off. And literally after that, I was a completely different person. I was hungry for the things of God. I was actually bartending in Atlanta at the time. I quit my job just to really feed myself with the things of God. And it's funny because I tell my parents all the time, that is the moment when you guys became really cool to me because I just wanted to be around them because they were godly people. I remember sitting up late nights with my dad in his office and we're just talking and I'm asking him questions about the book of Acts and this movement of believers and just things about Jesus and just so hungry for the things of God. And it was amazing and it continues to be that journey of just being hungry for him.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing for us parents to go through, Elizabeth, and you know that now. You've had enough conversations with your folks, and we'll talk to Mark here in the second half of the show, your father. But one of the reminders here for all of us, and Elizabeth is making this perfectly obvious, and we thank God for it, is that our children are on their own journey, and we can teach them and raise them up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it, because that's been implanted in there. But them acting on it is between them and the Lord. And Elizabeth, that's just when God got to you. That's when you were ready to receive again his truth and to give your life over to him. So from that point, how do we go from quitting your bartending job to the call to ministry in New York City?
Right. So probably about 6 months, I call it my spiritual incubator. So I cut off negative friendships. I quit my job and I was just hungry for the things of God. And I was kind of building up my spiritual muscles and experiencing Jesus for myself for a couple months. And then I went on an internship to a camp called Big Stuff Camp, which is just a summer camp for high schoolers. It's all summer long. And I went there, and there on the beach is where God confirmed, I really want you to go into full-time ministry. And I remember calling my mom and being like, what does this mean? Does this mean I need to move to Africa? Like, what does full-time ministry look like for me? Like, I'm a 23-year-old, just single girl. What does this look like for me? And she was like, God's going to show you. And through that journey, I ended up in New York City. I'm an internship with the North American Mission Board in the fall of 2013, and then ended up moving to New York in January of 2014.
And so what's the purpose? Why are you there?
Oh, man, I am there. I am there for two reasons. The first reason is exactly why Jesus came to earth, to speak and save lost people. That is my focus. That is my heartbeat. That's my passion. Because I know I've tasted what darkness looks like. I've dealt with the spiritual realms. I know what depression feels like, and having your dignity stripped of you by men, and being told that you're not valued. I know what those things feel like, and so it's so fresh to me. It's part of who I am, and so that's primarily why I want to see people. I want to see a revival happen in this city. I mean, New York City. It's the most influential city, arguably, in the world. So what would it look like, Steve, if a gospel movement happened in New York City? Like, how that would ripple effect into the different countries in the world and even America as well, because so much culture happens and starts and is catalyzed in New York City. So that's primarily the first reason. And the second reason is just as awesome, is to empower other believers to do the same thing, just to make disciples. I think oftentimes in our Western Christianity, we make it so complicated. But if you are a disciple of Jesus, you are a disciple maker. Every follower of Jesus is a fisher of men. So what would it look like for my friend that works on Wall Street to see Wall Street as his mission field? Or my friend who is on Broadway as an actress, for her to see the acting world and use the art? as a platform to make disciples. I mean, I think that would change everything.
Oh, absolutely. And my daughter, Amelia, and I will be up there. I was mentioning to this to you during the break. We'll be up there in early December. She's looking at the King's College, which is a Christian school, but primarily to train people to invade everything that's there in New York City, from the arts to finance to business to the media. And absolutely, the whole thing's our mission field, especially in an influential city like that. But you're also involved in a church plant there, aren't you?
I am. The church plant is called the Bridge Church, and we are four blocks from the Barclays Center, which is a huge subway hub. It's the first largest one in New York is Times Square, and the Barclays Center is the second largest. So we're four blocks from there. We're about a year old, and we started with, less than 10 people as a Bible study, and now we're about 50 to 60 strong. And we have baptized 17 people last year, and we're so excited, and we're praying our vision for by the year 2020, we want to see 250 people give their life to Christ and be baptized. So my pastor always says we pray big and we play big. So that's a huge vision, and we are pleading with the Lord to answer that. So very excited for what's on the horizon.
So what was this like for a Southern girl to move to Manhattan, New York City?
Well, first of all, I'm offended that you call me a Southern girl because I am Romanian. There's Romanian in my blood. No.
Is that South Europe? Does that count?
Yes. Yeah. So it's definitely a culture shock. I mean, New York City, obviously, it's in the United States. But like I said, there's just so many different cultures and even city life there. It's the city of all cities. So acclimating to the subways, you don't have a car, acclimating to the weather. I mean, the winter's coming up and, everything just changes in the winter just because it's so cold there.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
And just acclimating to what Christianity looks like there and what happens.
Yeah, and that's we're hitting a break. That's a different kind of field. Elizabeth, when we come back, I'm going to play this video that you made about your friend Jessica when something life-shattering happened to her and to you. We're going to play that and ask you about that, and then we'll get your dad involved in the conversation. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. The website, C2AToday.com. C2A as in called to action. That's the number two. C2AToday.com. But I really want you to get to the Facebook page. And I just posted this a little while ago. Elizabeth Habakovich, who's on the air with us. She's in New York. She's doing what God has called her to do after several years as a prodigal. And then God just got a hold of her and changed her life once again. And now she's serving him in New York City. So you've got an opportunity to partner with her. I've put those links up on the Facebook page. So facebook.com/C2A radio, or you can just go to the homepage at C2AToday.com and link over that way. But I wanted to play something. Elizabeth put this video up a while ago. I actually saw it once on Facebook, and then she shared it with me via email. But this is I'm going to play this because this is really the fruit of what God is doing through a remarkable young woman like Elizabeth in New York City. This was a video she put up about her friend Jessica that right on the heels of just a major, major seismic shift in Jessica's life. And this is what it sounded like.
I have really big news, and I wanted to just make a quick video. I'm in downtown Brooklyn right now. It's about 10:30. And so I just came out of a worship service with Jessica, and she gave her life to the Lord. And she said that she just really wants to love Jesus, and she wants the Holy Spirit to work in her life. And so we got to worship together and prayed and we hugged, and I feel like I'm floating right now. I feel like, thank you, God. Thank you. Now Jessica will be in heaven with us. So thank you so much for your support and your prayers. This is what your investment is going towards. Thank you so much for everyone, even the small donations, the big donations. Jessica now is alive in Christ, and she is my sister. And now we can begin to walk together, loving Jesus. And yeah, so I wanted to share with you guys. And I believe that heaven is erupting in praise right now over her soul. And yeah, so thank you. I love all of you.
So, Elizabeth, that's like the sixth time I've listened to that and watched it. And every time every time I tear up, I'm a grown man sitting in a room all by myself and I'm tearing up. Tell us about Jessica.
Wow, that I probably looked crazy that night crying on the streets of Brooklyn at 11 o'clock at night. But the first time I met Jessica, she asked me, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Are you?" She said, "No." Then she said, "Do you want to study the Bible together?" And I was like, "Okay, yes, I do." And just a backstory with Jessica, she is a Chinese international student that was studying at NYU at the time. And actually, the whole reason she was seeking out for Christians in America was her dad encountered the persecuted church in China 20 years prior. And he said that whenever you go to America, he tells his daughter this, whenever you go and study in America, find Christians and read the Bible and find out what is this thing about Jesus about? Because
wow,
something is special about this God. So the Lord connects me and her, and we start to just read the Bible once a week for about 7 months. And, you know, the messiness of that, she was not a believer. And just I learned so much about just the sufficiency of God's word and the Holy Spirit. And so that moment of that video was literally right after a worship service that I invited her to. And this is just 7 months of just sowing and praying and pleading and my whole community praying for her and all the partners praying for her. And she made the decision to give her life to the Lord. And so it was an amazing moment.
Yeah, and just like you said on the video, that really is the fruit that's coming from the partnership that you have with the people that are supporting you on this mission in New York City. So tell us about how we can help you in all of this, Elizabeth. What can we do to help what God is doing in and through you?
Right. So obviously the first thing is prayer. Prayer is the blood and veins of what I'm doing, of Jesus' mission. So God's hand does not move without his people praying. And so we just need more of believers praying for this city, praying for lost people. And the second one is financial partnership. I'm actually raising support now in Georgia, and I'm looking for more financial partners. I'm at about 60% funded. I'm fully self-funded through Crew. So if you want to click that link and check it out, I'd love to connect with you and share about what God is doing.
Yeah, and I just shared your email address on there, too. I would tell people what it is, but it takes too long to spell it, and nobody's going to be able to spell it on their own. So I just put it on the Facebook page, your email address for Elizabeth, as well as the link to her personal page on the Crew website. And Elizabeth, let's make sure. I'd love to introduce you to my daughter when we're up there, and we'll be up there in December.
That.
And then we'll stay in touch, and your dad will help us. I'm about to get him on the air here, and we'll just continue to watch what God is doing, not only through you, but through the church there, through the Bridge Church there in New York. And we'll just stay in touch and just support you with prayer and financially and friends. There you go. It's another one of these opportunities where God has now placed the information in front of you, and now it's up to you to decide prayerfully what you're going to do with it. But we're always responsible for what we know. Now you know about what God is doing through Elizabeth Hrabovcevic. Elizabeth, thanks so much for being with us today, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Steve. See you soon.
You're welcome. Okay, talk to you later. Well, let's go to the proud papa. You know what I just did? Oh, that's so funny. This is going to come back to haunt me. I just hung up on Elizabeth, and then I hung up on her dad. That's live radio. Hey, Mike, will you get Mark back on the phone? He's probably like, hey, thanks a lot. So hell hath no fury as a Romanian scorned. So that's what we're going to get Mark up here again. We're calling him right now. But Mark Hrabovcevic and I met about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and he's been super helpful with the Harvest Crusades. And like you know, last week I was down in Atlanta, and we had our launch events on Wednesday with Pastor Greg Laurie, and we had about 150 leaders and pastors there. And it was just awesome to have Mark involved in this whole process. I mean, I'm a pretty well-connected nobody. I mean, I really am. I really feel like a nobody, but there's a whole lot of people out there that I know. And Mark Hrabovcevic is just like that. It's amazing. I think in his phone, we were comparing how many contacts we had, and I had like 3,000 contacts in my phone. He's got over 5,000 contacts in his phone. So he started telling me, when I was finding out about his family and that kind of stuff, he started to tell me about his wife and his two daughters, and he told me about Elizabeth. And then when we talked a couple weeks ago, he was like, man, she's got an incredible story, and she'd be really good for Call to Action. And obviously, he was absolutely right. I think we've got Mark on the line, so I'm going to pull him up here in just a second. But on the prodigal side, I thought earlier today, we need to hear from the dad. We need to kind of hear what this has been like from the father's perspective. And Mark Hrabovcevic, sorry about that, bro. I totally hung up on you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Well, everybody, now you know what a Romanian sounds like because there's that accent. It's hard to miss. I tell you what, Elizabeth is just awesome, bro. She did an incredible job.
Well, we praise the Lord for that. It's amazing what God can do through anyone, because it's His work, it's not ours. So she's just a gift from the Lord, and we're thankful that she is serving Him today.
Well, it must be quite a contrast to look at where she is today versus where she was in her darkest days. Was that a surprise to you, Mark? You guys raised her up in the Lord, you loved her, and then all of a sudden she's going off the deep end. How did you guys handle that as a husband and a wife?
Well, of course, there is always a surprise, because you never want to think of anything bad, going on with your children. But I'm not totally surprised, because I know my heart. I know how deceivable the heart is. So therefore, we know that our propensity is always to go towards sin and world and selfishness and so on and so forth. But of course, it was hard as parents, Christine and I. At times we asked, why is this happening? Because I thought we were doing everything that was godly and biblically based, and yet things didn't seem to be working. But it was a learning process, Steve. And we give thanks to God for His faithfulness to not only where we were, but where He wants to take us, all of us, not just Elizabeth or our children, but each one of our listeners today. That listen to this broadcast.
Yeah, was it as a parent, Mark? Was it something that you had good days and you had bad days, and some days your faith is strong and you're like, God's going to bring her back, and other days you're like, she's never coming back. Was it kind of a roller coaster ride for you guys?
Well, it was, but our life, Steve, you and I go back a few years now, so we live our lives according to biblical principles, and we believe that whatever God says here, it will happen. So we live by biblical principles, and we not just talk them, but we actually try to live them out each and every day. So because of that, always we were drawn back to the basics, to, okay, what are the biblical principles that we as parents have to really employ right now, where we see that nothing we do seems to be working, and yet we trust and know and believe that what God says in His Word is true. And I think at the end of the day, God's faithfulness always comes through, and we are put to shame ourselves, because many times we do question, and in the course of questioning, God in His grace and mercy shows Himself up and makes things happen.
Yep. Well, Jesus Himself said it. We're hitting a break, Mark, but I'm going to put you on hold because I want to keep talking to you as we go into the final segment. But Jesus Himself said, "Oh, ye of little faith," but also, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And that's sounds like a bumper sticker, but it's not so easy. But we're called to do it, and God is faithful. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you, as always. Thank you for your time. A huge blessing and an honor. C2AToday.com is the website, C2AToday.com. And right there on the homepage, you'll find a link to the Facebook page, where there's always a lot of action going on there. And that's also Facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, as in called to action, C2A Radio. By the way, I put a video up yesterday. That was my 2-minute rant, the reaction to the Starbucks Red Cup controversy, quote unquote, that's been viewed about 3,000 times by folks. So please go check that out. I think you might be surprised by my reaction to that. And of course, Elizabeth Hbovkovich, who was on with us for the first more than half the show, and I put links up there, plus her email address. She was sharing just an incredible story of how God got to her in the depths of her prodigal days and brought her back to Himself, and now is using her in a powerful way up in New York City. And her father is a good friend of mine, Mark Hbovkovich, and he joins us by phone today. And so, Mark, I want to make sure that we, we take this opportunity to ask you to kind of sow into all the parents out there. A lot of us have children, and some have children that are maybe in the prodigal days. It looks like they're going towards the prodigal days and wherever they may be in that process. But help us understand, Mark, that how do we work our way through this? We're called to live by faith and not by sight. It's easier said than done. But what are some concrete things that folks that are in this boat can do to kind of make it through?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Well, $6 million question. By the way, there is not a magic formula on anything we do, and we say sometimes we think if we do this, it's going to happen that. But one thing I've learned in my 55 years of living and 30 years of being married to my wife Christine, that you need to pray big and trust that God will fulfill his word. I mean, pray big and trust God will fulfill his word. And because of that, as parents, either your biological children or, foster parents or whatever role that you might have, even parents that have adopted children. So number one, be loving parents. I mean, I know that's basic, but you got to be on the ground level. You have to love. Everything that you do as a parent should be in a loving way. Model godly love, not only in word, but also in deed, because the children are really watching you to see if your action matches your talk.
Yeah.
Number two, and this is another basic one would be, Steve, is be a teaching parent. What I mean by that? Train your child through word and deed, based on biblical principle, not what TV says or what the magazines or what the world says, but try to build character based on biblical principles. So be teaching parents. And of course, we know Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Number three would be, Steve, this is a big one for most parents, is be consistent parents. What I mean by that, Steve, is this, is what you say today should match to what you say tomorrow.
Yeah.
What I do today should match to what I say tomorrow. In other words, inconsistency is probably one of the most harmful things that anybody can do to their children, because you confuse the child. They don't know exactly what goes, when, and how, and all this. So that's why they are many times confused. So be consistent.
Mark, let me interrupt you right there, because that's a great point. Would you lump in just generally like discipline and how strict your rules are, that just, you know, decide what you're going to do, decide what the expectations are, and stay with that? Because that's one of the challenges. Hey, I face that. I go up and down. I'm back and forth. I'm right and left. And I know I'm not very consistent as a parent. So can we lump in just general how we handle our kids around the house and our expectations? Does that all lump in there?
Well, I would say that, yeah, you could lump. But remember what I said at the beginning. I said, be loving parents.
Yeah.
Explain more the why than the how. If you explain why do we do this, then the how really makes sense. Not do this because I said so, although sometimes you have to put your foot down and say it.
Sure.
But so everything has to be wrapped up in this love that you as a parent have for the children. So
yeah,
consistency, yeah. It's a big deal. I mean, we know that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is today, yesterday, and tomorrow the same. He never changed. So we know that. So we can guarantee that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I think that's a principle that we, as his followers, we would need to employ in our life as well, in our families as well, our family lives, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But one another one that is huge, and I found many, many times that we are failing here, is be unified parents. What do I mean by this, Steve? Is this. When Elizabeth would come to me and would say, "Hey, Dad, can I do this?" I would say, "What did your mom say?" I will never say anything against what Christine would say, because then that will play you against each other.
Sure.
So you need to be unified, present a unified front, because and you I think you remember this this verse is in 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion,
that's right,
but of peace." And you need to give a clear path and clear way so children can actually see. Oh, so this is a principle. I cannot play one against the other. But more than anything else, as I said at the beginning, it is pray big and trust that the Lord will fulfill his word.
Yeah, because especially when our kids are out of our home and when they're out on their own and they're making their own decisions, when we can't control and in our flesh we want to control everything, that's where our faith really gets put to the test. And then we fight not with flesh and blood, but we fight in the heavenly realm. We fight with prayer. And we fight with hope, and we fight with the promises of God, and we just have to endure and endure and endure for as long as it takes.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and of course, prayer is a big piece in this process. But prayer is not just prayer. Okay, nothing. You pray because you can do nothing else. No, actually, prayer is on the forefront,
yeah,
of everything we should do.
Great point.
Not the last resort, but the first resort.
That's like, oh, I guess I'll just pray. But no. Prayer is the most powerful weapon at our disposal, and unfortunately, it's the one we brandish the least.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why those three or four principles that I so be a loving parent, be teaching parents, teach the young people godly principles. Now, focus on the why rather than the how.
Yeah.
If you focus on the why rather than the how, then the how, it really makes sense sooner or later. Be consistent parents and be unified parents in everything you do. And I think you just trust the Lord that he's going to do it. And in our case, and we pray that many other prodigals out there would fulfill God's purposes in their life,
yeah,
as they
sure
come back to him.
Amen.
And we trust that their parents, that they've done the right thing. But many times you cannot undo things that you've done, but God in his grace, even our mistakes can be used for his glory.
Amen.
And
That's
we
right.
just have to trust God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do.
That's right. Amen, brother. Mark Habofkovich, my good friend, my dear brother, thank you so much for sharing with us. And thanks for sharing your daughter with us today. It was a huge blessing.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right, buddy. We'll see you again soon down in Atlanta. And that's why earlier today, friends, I was just like, why am I only going to have Elizabeth on when I've got her dad there who can bring the other side of the story and share, because he's been walking with the Lord for a long time. Mark escaped Romania when he was 18, when it was under communist rule. He made his way to Australia. He showed up in Australia. He got in a cab, and the cabbie just happened to be a Christian, which is not likely in Australia. And Mark, he ended up taking Mark to a church. Mark got involved in a church. He was born again, and then shortly thereafter, it didn't take long for him to hook up with the Southern Baptists here in America, and he moved over to Atlanta, and he's been working with the North American Mission Board for, I think, pushing 20 years now, and just a dear brother. But you heard that. You heard just great points from Mark, and those are things, as a parent, I'm listening to that going, yeah, man, I need to work on all of that. I need to, and most likely you do as well, but Mark especially. Pray big, man, and expect big, and God's promises. God's will for our children is not a mystery. God's will for you is not a mystery. 95% of God's will for your life and for your children's life is found right there in God's word. It's your sanctification, salvation first, but your sanctification, be made more like Christ, to share the gospel, to be a blessing to others, to serve in the church, all of those things. Not so much where you are, but who you are. Not so much where you work, but how you work. That's God's will for your life. And first, to be a believer. And second, after that, sanctification and to glorify God and to be used by him to reach others. And that's why when we hear about Elizabeth's story, as far gone as your child, your son, or your daughter might be, pray big and believe big. And then it's just, Mark, I'm so glad Mark corrected me. Sometimes we act like, well, all I can do is pray. That's like I've got a stinking Ferrari or a Lamborghini in the garage and go, well, I guess I can drive that thing. What are you kidding me? It's the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God's will. It's God's promises. All there waiting in that vehicle called prayer. It's not our last resort. It's our first beachhead It's our most powerful weapon. Let's make sure we're using it consistently for each other as spouses, and especially for our children. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll be back tomorrow talking about, of course, the debate. We'll take your calls and maybe talk about Starbucks if I'm in the mood. God willing, I'll see you then.